The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It is a good day to be with you from Las Vegas. We have Cassie Hubbard with ESPN. She is here in Vegas as well for the NBA Summer League. She, like me, has been watching the Suns. Cassie will be with us here shortly. We'll get not just into the Suns and Jalen Smith. That's the main buzz up here around the Suns, but also things around Devin Booker, Luka's contract, how that impacts Devin, the Lakers, and so on and so forth. Get to a lot of it with Cassidy Hubbard. That's coming up here shortly. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. 2 days of Summer League, and see, my expectations on Summer League are much different than many folks, I believe. I come here knowing I'm not going to see great basketball. I come here knowing that I'm here to watch individuals rather than teams. I come here knowing that Jalen Smith was taken in the draft last November. He played in like 33 games, I think. He didn't play much at all. How's he going to get out on the basketball court? He didn't have a summer league last year because of COVID. He sat and he watched. So I'm going to watch a player who has high enough potential. The Suns took as the 10th overall pick in the draft just last November. He's been given an opportunity to play. And so most every time I watch him, he's got somebody pulling him over, talking to him and chatting him up. It's kind of cool. Brian Randle, the head coach. You know, Mark Bryan is part of the Suns organization working with bigs. He worked with DeAndre Ayton. And so they're trying to get him better, trying to get him stronger. Right now, I mean, when people say, oh my gosh, he is dominating, he's had double-doubles in his first two games. Yeah, I wouldn't call it the greatest competition that he'd see in a mop-up of a fourth quarter of an NBA game. So I know everybody wants to get all excited and all that stuff. I like what I see out of him. I see some flashes, and then I see some times where it's like, I don't know. But I like his work ethic a lot, and so far through two games up here, I've been very pleased to check him out and see the rest of the Summer Suns. They're off today. I'm going to head back after this show. And I've seen a lot of basketball up here. This is a cool event. If you've never been to the Vegas Summer League and you're a Suns fan, it's worth coming up here. It really is. The access is pretty good. The caliber of basketball with the guys at the very, very end of the bench who don't get to play, if you're into those guys, it's great. Once again, some of the Suns' veteran players were here last night. It was kind of fun to watch them interact. So that's what's going on up here around the Suns. And, you know, Cade Cunningham's in action tonight, and Jalen Green and Jalen Suggs, and you know, it's fun to see all those players too. But 2 days is, that's fine. I think that's enough. The Arizona State football investigation. So let's get into this. While I've been up here, two more assistant coaches have been put on administrative leave, which means they're pretty much done at Arizona State, I would think. So my understanding in talking with people that are close to the situation, inside, outside the building, there's going to come a point. There's going to come a point, guys, where, and it may have already happened, where the tight end coach is going to talk to some people and say, here's what I was told to do from above. You're going to have a point in time where a DB coach, wide receiver coach, is going to say, here's what I was told to do from above. When that happens, it will be more than just three coaches being put on administrative leave. If you're still in that mindset, first of all, if you're in that mindset that it's our fault, you need to get on with your life. It's not the media's fault. This stuff is out there. If it's the, well, everybody else is doing it camp, no, not blatant, not putting it out there. Is there stuff that goes on that raises your eyebrow that you hear about and say, well, that doesn't seem right? Or come on, really? That's how you're trying to get through on this? But in being so brazen, and there's a paper trail. There is a paper trail. Okay? There's photos. There's all sorts of stuff here. But what has been missing is people to put, who said to do this from above? You know, and I don't play the game of, I'm going to give you information to help you get more views on your website and get more clicks on your website. And I think there's been some of that that has been going on through all of this over the last couple of years. I think that there's been ways of monies being pushed around through the last few years. I don't really think the media has done that good of a job on this story. I think that there's just been a lot of cheering and rah-rah and, you know what, I'm going to get more people to sign up for my site. I'm going to get more people to log in if I just put everything as great, and I'm going to turn my eye and go the other way. Now, I've been hearing about this stuff for 2 years. I was talking to a couple high school coaches yesterday that it's been going on a long time. And they have both of them are out of state. There's no reason for them to be in a space of, going after Arizona State. So, look, this is not going to get better anytime soon. It's not. I don't know if it's going to be next week. I don't know if it's going to be next month. But when those three start saying who told them from above to go do this, that's where this is going. It's not going to stop. You may want it to stop. It's not going to stop. I was thinking about this yesterday. You have to start looking at who, not when, who is going to be the replacement. Because Herm's not going to go down on this. I don't believe. I don't believe he's going to go down on this. I believe he'll go through the season, and I think that he will say, you know what, I don't need this. I don't see how Herm Edwards, with his staff, three of them already pulled in, and none of the three has of yet talked, from my understanding. They haven't talked yet, but they're going to talk, and they are going to talk about what they were told to do from above. So in my mind, it's who's next? Not who's going to get let go next, but who's the next coach? What's the next coaching staff going to look like? Let's just start moving on, because it's going to happen. You may not like hearing this as a Sun Devil fan. You may be like, you're ruining my season. I'm just sitting here looking at it from the obvious point of view. The president of the university's side of the street is now involved in this investigation. The president has been very clear, very clear. Todd Graham, to me, to my face, I was told by Michael Crow, if you cheat, I will fire you. Okay? Crow's made no bones about it. But the key point in all of this that is missing from my view is when the tight end coach talks to investigators and says, here's what I was told to do, because he's got to save his own career. When the wide receiver, all three of these guys, when they start saying to those investigating them why they've been put on administrative leave, it's not like they're going to say, nope, I'm not going to say a thing. Then your career is over. This isn't going away, guys. It's not. So that's what you have to look at here, is when they start talking to investigators and what they were told to do from above, and the paper trail that is already there, and a paper trail that you may not see and I may not see. This is not going to be something that gets cleaned up and gets put to bed, and there's no fire here, no problems here, no distraction. Simply can't see it. Simply can't see it. And for those that are like, yeah, this is nothing, it's just you guys coming after us, what is my agenda? What is the media's agenda here? I don't have an agenda. They're supposed to be a great football team. I'd kind of like to see them do well. I'd kind of like to see them get to a Rose Bowl for the first time other than playing UCLA since 1997. Kind of like to see that. I like good stories. My first thing, it's not pitchforks, not forks, it's none of that nonsense. It's I would just like to see a good story. I don't want to see El Paso. I don't want to come back here to Vegas for a football game that's a bowl game. I don't. So, you know, the Antonio Pierce side of the story, it's pretty interesting. All the underlings, all the young assistant coaches, who told them? Remember, this is the head coach in waiting. This is the guy in charge of recruiting. Come on, connect the dots on this. You think three guys just said, yeah, we're going to go do all this. We're going to go rogue. We're going to do all this. You really believe that? So I don't like this stuff in August. I don't like this stuff any time of the year, but this is not all this stuff, because it's been out there for so dang long, it's not a surprise. Just some people decide to dig on it rather than just hear the surface stuff. Well, that's that. The Cardinals play the Cowboys on Friday. I'm going to go out there. I would say you'll see guys that you recognize for 10 plays, 20 plays. Maybe. I don't, 20 plays sounds a little much. There's three of these worthless preseason games, but at least, I don't know, 5-10 plays are going to be out there, and then you're going to see guys you're like, who? But it's preseason football, and fans like to get into that. All right, Cassidy Hubbard next with ESPN from here in Las Vegas at the Summer League. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, let's do a deeper dive into where the Suns are and around the Summer League. Cassidy Hubbard is with us with ESPN, host, reporter. She covers the NBA Summer League, among many, many other things. I've seen her work. She's terrific. She has a lot of energy and enthusiasm around a time of year where, you know, the season just ended and here we are 3 weeks later. For those of us who are around this, I know, it's just like 5 days in Milwaukee seemed like a week ago for me. It was just, whew. So how are you doing?
I mean, I'm fine. We haven't had a second to breathe, but it's fun, right? You know, we've been talking about how the NBA, just like the NFL, is a year-round sport. And this year in particular feels that way. You know, I was actually talking to Adam Silver, and he was on cloud nine. He was on so much energy even after this whole run. But I think he is so proud of not only getting through to the finals, getting through to the draft, but even having guys like, you know, Devin Booker coming off a loss in the finals, go to the Olympics and win gold, and then turn around and come back in, you know, Summer League. So I think there's a sense of pride, among the NBA, and I think people who cover the NBA, even though we're all exhausted and blurry-eyed, I think it's a pretty impressive that the league is chugging along and putting out a great product.
Okay, so let's get into what you just brought up, because that's what the fans in Phoenix are buzzing about. Two things. The second is Jalen Smith. The first thing they're buzzing about is Devin showed up, and Chris showed up, and Cam showed up, and Cam Johnson showed up, and Mikal showed up, all to watch Summer League and sit there in the front row. Who knew? Who would have thought? What do you make out of this, Cassidy?
I know. I was like a little kid, because I was not expecting it, because this is my fifth Summer League. And I love this event because so many people show up, and it's such a relaxed environment, and, you know, people come out to hang out. But I was like, you know, with everything going on with the pandemic and how exhausting this season was, I wasn't expecting to see a lot of veteran players. And so to have opening night, me turn around and see Chris Paul there, that's awesome. Of course, he's a leader. And then, you know, sitting with Cam and Mikal. And then, you know, I don't know what it was in the first quarter. All of a sudden, I go, I do like a gasp. I think he heard it. I was like, Devin Booker. And I'm telling my producer, Devin Booker's here. Devin Booker's here. Because I didn't see, you know, Bam at that time and some of the other gold medal winners. But, like, to see Devin walk in there, knowing that he came straight from Tokyo, right. I just found that to be so impressive and, you know, indicative of what a close unit this Suns team is. And it was great to see them all together there, especially just after the whirlwind last year and a half that it's been for them.
Yeah, I thought it was even more impressive. I went down after the first game to talk with Jalen Smith, and they were still there. This was not like an appearance, you know, walk in, hey, we saw a little bit, now we're out, let's go to the strip. No, those guys stuck to the end. And I was talking with Jalen afterwards. He said it meant a ton, because they're yelling stuff at me. They're saying things to me. And, you know, in his space, let's get into him for a bit. He didn't have a summer league. He was a first round pick who sat and didn't do much. And so when I see progress, it's all through the lens. Or some fans are like, wow, he really isn't showing much. Like, are you kidding me? This kid had to sit and watch. What have you made out of him so far through two
games? Well, that's it. You know, he's, you can tell that he's itching to play. And that's what he said. I just want to ball. You know, I've been antsy watching a finals run, you know, like being on a team and not being able to compete for the finals. Yes, he's still part of the team, but I can understand why he's itching to play. And, you know, he looked like the best player on the floor at moments against the Lakers. There were times where you wanted to see him more involved in the offense a bit down the stretch because, you know, he was the best player, you know, on the floor at times. But he was high energy. And look, there's going to be some expectations for him this year. Like, this is kind of his rookie year. He didn't have summer league last year, like you said, with Saric being out with injury, his height, they're going to need him to be a reliable contributor, especially on those offensive boards. And you know, this is a time for him and Tyshawn Alexander to show kind of what they've been doing in their one-on-one battles that they did every time before games. So this is what summer league's about, to gain confidence, especially for the second year players, and to try to, you know, impress your coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I think the signing of JaVale McGee was important for the organization. A great signing. And so the pressure really isn't on him. And I notice in Jalen's space, I notice most every stop ball. Did you notice this? Most every stop possession, free throws, whatever, coaches are talking to him. They're bringing him over and they're talking to him. There's times where I look at him and fans are yelling, "That's not your position. You shouldn't be shooting threes. You should be." Guys, it's summer league. They're experimenting with him. They're trying to figure it out for him. So is he a rotation guy right now with JaVale McGee coming in? I don't know. But right. I'd like to see him get there.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what you do here at Summer League. You figure out, you allow him to gain confidence. Yeah, you allow him to figure out how he can be the best in his role, because it is a stacked Suns team, and it is he's going to have to carve out his space. But in order to figure out, you know, how to get in where he fits in, he needs to find confidence in his game. And as amazing as it's been for the Suns overall, I can understand if your confidence takes a hit if you didn't really get out on the basketball court with your team last year. So, you know, this time is about him gaining confidence and feeling like, you know, he's deserving to be in the NBA.
Chopping it up with Cassidy Hubberth. By the way, ESPN has Kate Cunningham and Jalen Green on the court tonight. A little plug there. As we talk about the NBA Summer League here in Las Vegas. I want to circle back on Devin Booker. Is there a point, Cassidy, where you look at the calendar for him? Because you were in the bubble last year.
Yeah.
And then he goes from the bubble and the great run there to the finals. And then he goes over to the Olympic Games where it's, you know what? I don't need to see you until December 15th because you put a lot of miles on your body. And you can make the same case for the others. But none of the others on the Suns had to carry the weight of the world expectations on their shoulders. Does he need a little bit more of a break? Monty's not a load management guy. What do you think?
But also, like, Chris is not going to agree to not play. Like,
right.
So, you know, he knows that he just signed this deal, and he's going to be motivated more than ever. He was this close. He was so close to, you know, the ultimate goal. So, telling Chris Paul, like Monty says himself, like it's apparent it's a player coach, you know, relationship that Chris has with this team.
And it's not so much Chris, it's more just Devin. Devin with the Olympics had a little bit more mileage put on him. I'm just curious if you think, Devin may be a load management guy, even though that's not been in their philosophy.
He's young. How do you justify load managing, you know, a 24-year-old, 24, right? I think that they can load manage him early on here with training camps coming up at the end of September. But, you know, I don't know. Devin is someone who's a workhorse. I think you follow this team, you know, every day and understand that that guy is a gym rat. So maybe like, in that regard, you can lock the door sometimes and say, hey, take a breather this morning or take a breather this afternoon. But that's a guy who more than ever, just like Chris Paul, is, you know, I think the that moment where he walked off the court after the loss and looked and, you know, you could see him taking it all in as motivation. That shot of him went viral because, you know, he talked all about this Mamba mentality of him, you know, looking up to Kobe Bryant and just putting in that work. And I don't think you're going to be able to stop him from wanting to get to this level again.
What do you think his reaction was when he saw Luka's contract extension number? Devin.
Well, I don't know. I think it was like everybody's reaction was just like, yeah, jaw dropping. And also like, I think Luka has the respect of a lot of players across the league. So yeah, as you know, I think we did a lot of jaw dropping. Like the numbers are insane in the NBA right now. Yeah. They're insane. It feels like Monopoly money. I mean, probably not to the players because they actually have it, but like looking at it from the outside in, it's like, it's gotten to a point where it doesn't even feel real anymore, these numbers. But yeah, I think Devin, you know, he'll get his due.
Luka's a face of the NBA for years to come. I think Devin has finally gotten into that space of being a face because this organization was so bad for so long, and you can put up numbers, but nobody's watching you. Now he's become a face. And the thing is, for Robert Sarver and James Jones and company, they don't have to get on a private jet and go to Slovenia to get the deal done. It's just, you know, go over to the Biltmore and, hey, Devin, let's have a breakfast. And here's a pile of cash. And let's see if we can figure this out.
They'll do right by him.
The Lakers, before I get you out of here. So all the jokes, all the laughs about the aging team, this would have been a great team in 2013 and all that with signing Carmelo and others. What do you make out of their offseason so far, Cassidy?
I mean, their offseason is understanding that they have arguably, you know, the greatest player of this generation at 36 years old, and time's ticking. Got to put all the chips in.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, there's no other time. You can't wait. You know, LeBron James isn't getting any younger. He still showed, despite the injuries, that he can be productive. You have Anthony Davis. You got to make sure he's healthy. And if he's not, you got to make sure that you can have guys who can create their own shots. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that lane, because we know, you know, Russ likes to go full steam ahead. How they're going to handle point guard responsibilities between him and LeBron. You know, the Lakers are going to be must-see TV, but what else is new since LeBron, you know, joined them?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Before I get you out of here, what has caught your eye here in the summer league? It may just be some players that fans are like, who, what, where? That's what Vegas is about. Who's caught Cassidy's eye? We can make that a segment. Who's caught Cassidy's eye?
I mean, really excited for tonight's game. Jalen Green obviously was the talk of day one. I had Cade Cunningham's debut. I think if you were to ask him, he probably, you know, would want to have obviously gotten a win for whatever that's worth, because he wanted to go undefeated in summer league play, but, you know, probably cleaned up a little bit of his play throughout that game. So I'm excited to see 1 vs. 2. I mean, I think that's always the buzz around summer league is the big name rookies and, you know, having them kind of show out and see who's the king of the court here in Vegas. Even if it doesn't mean much during the regular season, this is a party in its own right. And that kind of buzz is what's so fun about summer league.
Yeah, and those guys are going to play this year too. It's not like Jalen Smith, where, you know, or Jalen Suggs, seeing him so far, that's been fun for me. But good stuff. Hey, I appreciate chopping it up with you. Thanks for the time and the visit.
Thank you for having me. Stay cool, stay hydrated here in Las Vegas, and you know, good luck to you to surviving this whole stretch here.
There's Cassidy Hubbard. You can see all of her work on ESPN. She's covering the NBA Summer League. We appreciate her time, and we're back with more from Vegas after this timeout.